Today I want to read a passage from Paul's letter to the Galatians, and chapter 6, beginning with verse 11 through 16, kind of the conclusion. Paul here is kind of saying again what he's already said, maybe kind of recapping or reviewing what he has already talked about in the whole letter. And so I'm just reading the end of that. And Paul is writing, normally a letter like this might have been written by a scribe or somebody who wrote for him. And yet, at the end, maybe he signs his name or he writes. And so, Galatians chapter 6, beginning with verse 11, it says, "See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand." So maybe he's like John Hancock there on the Constitution and writes the name in bold letters. But he says, "Those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised obey the law, yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, even to the Israel of God." Well, I couldn't finish without a couple of little stories, or actually these are poems, so if you maybe have heard them before, but Getting Out of the Way is the title of this one. It says, "A badger met a skunk one day who would not yield the right of way, and raised his battle flag and said, 'If you want trouble, just come ahead.' The badger said, 'You little squirt, you are a stinker, mean as dirt. But since you have so much B.O., I will step aside and let you go.'" And the moral in this episode can serve you well along life's road. Stay clear of all that can defile, even though you walk an extra mile. And so that's the badger and the skunk. There was also, if you think maybe I'm going to do a little more fishing, this little poem is about fishing. It says, "Jimmy and Joey, normal boys, like fishing in the brook. Of course they dug in garden soil for worms to bait their hook. I'd wryly glance into their can and quickly look away to give each one a hasty hug and send them on their way. One day young Jim came grumbling home. 'To get more bait,' he sighed. 'You didn't have enough?' I asked. 'Joe ate it,' he replied." My stomach turned, my color churned, gray, purple, green, and red, till Jimmy still disgusted spoke, "This morning we took bread." To God be the glory. May I never boast except in the cross of Christ. If you've been to the funeral service of a soldier, or maybe witnessed that on TV, you see displays of honor and thanks and nations that are proud as they honor this fallen hero or this person who has served his country well. When a foreign dignitary visits our soil or one of ours visits theirs, there's a whole entourage of cars and people that attend, and they roll out the red carpet. The desire for attention. It's part of our human nature to honor and to glorify and to seek to be recognized and affirmed. And little children often say, "Watch me, Dad. Watch me, Mom." And they will do their trick or do their activity. They want to be noticed. And we applaud them at their ball games and we honor their achievements. And we attend those recognition ceremonies to be honored and praised. It's what many men and women want, to be noticed, to be recognized, to be affirmed in some way. And you've heard, if you are as maybe an old enough generation to remember Muhammad Ali, who said, "I am the greatest." And then the little tag, "I said that even before, I knew that even before I said it," he would quip. To the best at our sport, our talent, to be the best at our job, to somehow aspire to the top. Those are our aspirations. We want to compare ourselves with others, and so often when ministers get together, the first question or one of the first ones, "How many people are attending your church?" And you compare one another by the numbers, it seems like, and somehow there's this sense of pride or affirmation with the number of people. We want attention. Now, there are men and women who deserve to be honored. Soldiers and police, firefighters, people who have sought to honor their country by serving, and there are those who have sacrificed greatly. And so often as I look at the graveyard at Normandy Beach, and you see those crosses all across the lawn there, and you think of all of those men, 18 years old, 19, 20, who didn't make it up the hill, and they are buried there, sacrificed so that others could gain a foothold and eventually somehow come to Europe and defeat the enemy. We're seeing in the war in Ukraine the value of freedom. And somehow we marvel, and somehow we are even somehow understanding, or maybe compassionate, maybe even honoring of those who are willing to give their life, that their countrymen, their children might be free. We see the honor of that. And very often it's those who deserve the praise the most who are not looking for it. They are just doing their job, just serving as they're supposed to. And so that recognition, it's part of our nature. And Paul is writing to the Galatians. He's writing a letter to affirm the truth and to identify some false teachings. There's a group of Jews who have come to that area who are preaching that if you want to be saved, not only do you have to believe in Jesus, but you have to be outwardly showing that in some way. And they use the Jewish form of circumcision as the proof that you've been saved. And so those Galatians, those Gentiles who had never been circumcised, who had never shown in their physical body their badge of belief, were told, if you want to be a Christian, you got to do it this way. And in our day, we might say, well, if you want to be a Christian, you have to be baptized this way, or you have to do these certain things. You have to follow these rules. And so they're adding something on to Jesus Christ and Him alone. And Paul wants it to be clear. It's faith in Jesus Christ. Glory is in the cross, and that's all. And so he wanted to make sure they understood that. And throughout the letter, again and again, and here at the end, he condemns that idea that you have to add something else in order to be saved. You have to make sure you do it in this way or that way. And somehow we as people want that recognition. And those Judaizers were trying somehow to show their folks back home that they were doing it the way they had been told. Paul condemns their teaching. He says those who are preaching that they should be circumcised, they don't follow the law any better than you do. They're just somehow trying to gain some glory for winning you to their side of these teachings. they wanted to be able to boast that they'd made converts in Galatia. Then Paul goes on, he says, what really matters? What really matters, he says, is a new creation. What really matters isn't circumcision or uncircumcision, but a new creation. And if you read in 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul spelled it out real clearly to the Corinthians. He said, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. That being born again, Jesus met Nicodemus there that night in John chapter 3. And he said, if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. New creation. All over again. Restart that relationship with Christ. What really matters is to be redeemed by Jesus' blood. Are you a new creation? Has Jesus come into your life and have you received him as Savior and Lord? Then you are a new creation. You are born again by his blood. You are identifying yourself with the cross of Christ. And if not, then why not now? If not, why not today? This is the day you can come to Christ and in faith say to him three words. Please, yes, thank you. Please come into my life and save me from my sin. Yes, I am a sinner and I don't deserve it, but I pray for that and thank you, Lord, for your grace and for your mercy. And so a simple little prayer to God can make us new creation. Has your life been changed by what really matters? Paul understood that all the human successes and victories that could be achieved are nothing when compared to what Jesus has done and will do. And so he says, God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of Christ. The New International Version that we read just a moment ago says, may I never boast except in the cross of Christ. If you read King James or New King James, it says, God forbid, a little more passionate, a little stronger. God forbid that I should boast in anything but the cross of Christ. The old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame, the instrument that was foolishness to the Gentiles, and it was that aberration to the Jews, that sense of disgust and condemnation. How can people claim to be followers of God when they have as their symbol a cross, a symbol of death and crucifixion, and yet the cross of Christ is where we boast. Believers love to boast about their church, and preachers love to talk about how much God is working, how many baptisms. And sometimes we take pride in our accomplishments. I've been the pastor here for 27 years, and I can boast about that in some ways. And maybe it's easy for pastors to get a big head because, after all, the folks come and listen to what I have to say, and they go out saying, good sermon, pastor, whether it was or not, whether they remember anything. By the way, I don't know if you'll get outlines from now on, but I learned a long 10 or 12 years ago, there's this sermon sucking black hole that you go home and somebody says, well, what was the sermon about? And you say, well, I don't know for sure. I don't remember very. I have that too. So if you write it down, that's the whole goal. That's why it's there, to just to say, well, I don't remember, but here are the notes. You can read them yourself. Well, it's easy to get a big head. But Paul affirms, he says, the only thing that matters is a new creation. Jesus, born again. Have I been crucified with Christ? Today's sermon topic is actually one that I used way back in August 13th, 1978. As I was going through files, I found the first sermon that I preached at Denver, Indiana. We had just moved there and was starting a whole new career. And the same passage, "To God be the glory, great things He has done." As I began ministry 40 plus years ago, this was the theme: God gets the glory. And I realized then, and I still realize, that I'm not worthy of His grace and His favor, but I affirm that Jesus died for my sins and for your sins, and that God is the one who ought to be glorified in that. And so I reaffirm, as I did then, God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of Christ. A lot of good things have happened in the last 27 years. People have come to know Jesus as their Savior, and I've been able to be a part of that with some of you. Boat Church has been such a blessing and such a good ministry. And how many of you thought that would never work? Some of you might have thought that in the beginning, but what a blessing that's been. And now 27 years later, you come in the back door instead of the front door. The parking lot's back there. And when we first came, folks parked up and down Main Street and over in the places all next door. There's new leaders, a remodeled sanctuary. The pulpit used to be up there, and the organ and the piano down here. All kinds of changes. The elevator. Nobody has to ride up that seat on the side of the wall anymore. It's kind of a nice thing to have an elevator. Live streaming. Who would have thought of that 27 years ago? There's so many good things and so many blessings. And one of my blessings was Junior Bose, a good friend and a blessing to all of us. And we miss him. There have been some trials along the way. There have been some tough things too. Loved ones lost, and maybe friendships that have been broken over things that might have been said or things that should have been said that weren't. There was 9/11, and what a heartache that was so long ago. And COVID, we've made it most of the way through that, I hope, anyway. But changes have happened in the 27, good things and bad things. Maybe we don't even know all the good things that'll come about because of COVID. Violence and war and changes in our nation and our country and our world. And I praise God that when my kids were growing up, we didn't have to worry about Sunday sports. They had some of that, but it wasn't as big a deal as today. And what is the goal of sports anyway? The goal of sports is to raise up a new Tom Brady, right? Well, yeah, how many are going to have one of those? I think the goal of sports for 99.9% of the people is to build character. How many Purdue fans? And the character is you get back up and you play again. You lose the game, you don't make it, you didn't quite accomplish the goal, but you get back up again. And you keep going because the character, the person in you, is what's important. How many Sundays you stay away for a game or this thing or that thing. And the biggest fear I have for the next generation is that some of those kinds of things are going to take our little kids away from more important things like church, like the one thing that matters, God and His glory. And so I caution parents and grandparents, don't let those little ones get away with only doing Sunday sports. They need to be in church. They need to know Jesus, and that's an important thing. God forbid that we should boast in anything except the cross of Christ. What have you accomplished in your years? Business, career, a beautiful family and homes and wonderful friendships. Maybe you've seen people excel in music and sports. Maybe you've been faithful to the Lord, maybe to your church, some great community service. Perhaps there are military honors or other noble things that have been done for others, but all in all, we need to remember again and again those words of Paul and make that our theme. To God be the glory. God forbid that I should glory in anything except the cross of Christ. So my challenge to you today is the same. To God be the glory. God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of Christ. And so today, the last sermon for a while at least, I'll be back, I don't know, to preach, but to worship with you in time. But as we move ahead to the future, may God be glorified. I ask you to pledge the same. May he be honored in your life. May you give glory to him day by day. There'll be many good things to come. This is not the end. This is just the turning of a page to a new chapter. And there'll be some challenges. There will be some stumbling along the way. And in the next few months, there may be what are we going to do now? Or whose job is this? Or who's supposed to be doing that? Or those kinds of things. And I'll have the same questions. There'll be new opportunities as well, new things to do and new ways of doing things. And who knows what new mission or project or goal the kingdom of God and the church will do. New people will come to know Jesus as their Savior in the years to come. To God be the glory. The new opportunities, to God be the glory. Those times when we're honored and people say, good job, may we just remember to say, to God be the glory. And so today, as we close a chapter and begin a new one, what do we say? To God be the glory. Let's say it again. To God be the glory. Great things he's done. Let's pray together, shall we? Thank you, Lord, for your love and grace. Thank you that we can gather together to worship and to honor you. And Lord, you have been good to us. We've been blessed in so many ways. And Lord, somehow when we give you the glory and we honor you, we are blessed as well. We lift you up, Lord, and somehow we are lifted up. We honor you, Lord, and somehow we are blessed. And so, Lord, today we end a chapter and begin a new one. I pray your amazing grace and blessings on our church family, Lord, and on these who are worshiping. Those blessings, Lord, will continue to come. And as they do, Lord, may we honor you. May we give you the glory and praise. And Father, we just love you. We honor you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.